And welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan in studio today with my co-host David Niles.
Yo.
Dave, it's so good to have you on the second episode of the Catholic Man Show.
It's good to be back.
I'm glad that we had at least one listener last time. My mom said she enjoyed it.
Pope Francis called me.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. He calls me all the time.
Well, we'd love to hear your feedback. Get in touch with us on our social media. We have a Facebook page, the Catholic Man Show, and a Twitter page, at the Catholic Man Show. Get in touch with us. Let us know what you think. Let us know what kind of topic you want to hear next, maybe even.
Yeah, because seriously, if you do that, it comes straight to our cell phones.
So we'll probably do it.
Yeah, so we will actually get, it's not like we have some intern, okay, here on Catholic Radio.
We're on what we call a low budget.
Yeah, that's one word for for what we are.
No, so it's so good
low
to have
budget, high quality.
High quality, absolutely. It's so good to have you guys back. I appreciate it. I appreciate some of the feedback that we got for the first show.
Yeah.
I had a great time. This is so fun.
I'm having a blast. I don't care what y'all are doing. I'm having a great time.
So let's recap. Let's recap what the Catholic Man Show is.
Okay. So every episode, we're going to do three things. Whoa. Hang on, though.
Time
before,
out.
Before we go on, I mean, it's only fair that we once again warn the listeners.
Wow, I can't believe we waited this long.
We could have killed somebody, bro.
Yeah. Oh, man, that was so please forgive us. Please.
Dang, we got to be careful.
Yeah.
Warning, if you are susceptible to high levels of manliness, this show will be hazardous to your health. Please consult your doctor before listening.
Oh, man.
I just feel better now that we warned people.
And now we don't have to worry about getting sued.
Right. Because I'd hate it if something happened to someone.
Right.
You know, if some sissy dude was out there listening and just had like a brain aneurysm.
Right.
And crashed his car. I mean, like,
bye-bye Catholic Man Show.
Yeah.
So, okay.
The joke could be on them, though, if they sued us.
Yeah, because low budget.
Yeah, joke's on you, bro.
All right, so let's get back to it. Well, what is the Catholic Man Show? What do we do?
Okay, so yeah, now that we've warned people, every episode we're going to do three things. We are going to A, open and enjoy a manly beverage.
Correct.
We're going to B, discuss a manly item or thing.
Mm-hmm.
We are still looking for a better term for the manly item.
Yeah, because I just don't like...
It just doesn't feel manly to say manly item. Like, if you have to say it's a manly item, like... It just doesn't feel as manly, but it is, okay?
Yeah, it may not be.
We talked about knives last time.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a manly... Man, we got a manly item for you, man.
Yes.
I said man. And then thirdly...
Yes, which is C, because you've been doing letters instead of numbers.
I do appreciate consistency. Thank you. We are going to discuss a topic from a man's perspective with a manly virtue in mind.
Correct.
And in fact, really, the manly virtue we have for each show is the overall, like, tone. It informs what the manly item is.
Correct.
So it's kind of a theme. Today's theme is respect.
Right, respect.
A very manly thing.
Underlooked.
Oh, for sure.
So I'm really glad that we're doing this because the topic that we're going to do is, like you said, respect. But we're going to kind of lean it towards respect for life.
Respect for life,
which is a huge topic in the news, especially this last 12 months with Planned Parenthood and everything.
Word.
So it's good for men to know the importance of the respect for life.
Oh, absolutely.
So let's get into
Let's move on to the A, yeah, the manly beverage. So before we do that, Adam.
Yes.
Why are we drinking on air?
So we're drinking on air not to be promoting drinking. We're promoting quality and excellence while enjoying each other's company.
I think evident, or it should come through in the beverages that we choose.
Correct. It's not about...
We're not drinking Natty Light.
Right. And we're not drinking to drink, but we're drinking to enjoy a fine beverage, and not to be promoting drinking, not to be promoting
drunk. We're not promoting drinking.
Right.
We're promoting enjoying finer things in life.
That's right.
Because as men, we should appreciate and enjoy... in the right way, the fine things that God has given us on this earth. I once heard this said, and I don't know who said it, but I think it's got to be true, that beer is living proof that God loves us and wants us to be
happy. I think that was a Benjamin Franklin quote.
Is it?
I think it was.
Could be.
Don't quote me on that quote that I just quoted.
Okay, I won't. I won't do it.
But, so tell us the manly beverage.
Okay, yeah. So, once again, we're not drinking.
Right. Let me throw this out there. The virtues that we're talking about for men, there's a huge virtue in knowing who you are and knowing the vices that you have.
Every man should know thyself.
Right. And if one of your vices is alcohol, it's applaudable and it's respectful to avoid those temptations. Mm-hmm. And so everybody's been affected by alcoholism, Dave.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have.
You know, indirectly or directly, everybody's been touched.
I mean, I think everyone's been directly. It depends on what you mean by directly touched. But I think everyone either has a friend or family member who struggles with alcoholism.
Right.
And, you know, I think we can't say it enough to lift those people up and mm-hmm. applaud them for what they're doing, because it's not easy.
No.
I mean, imagine trying to avoid something that's everywhere.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. So
and
we need
promote
to make sure
everywhere.
We need to make sure to a round of applause.
Right. Because that in itself is what the man show is about.
Right. So let's enjoy this in moderation. Also, for those who don't know, this show is recorded in Adam's house.
Right.
That's where we are right now.
Thanks, Haley.
Yeah. Thanks. Hey, can you bring more cookies, actually? We're getting low.
She's not here. She wouldn't do that anyway.
No, I wish we had cookies. Someone wants to send us cookies. Our address is on the website.
Yeah, and you can send
them. That's my address. But I live across the street from you. So
right. So there's no driving.
I'm not going to be driving after we drink. Anyway, the beverage we're enjoying today is a Glenmorangie.
Right.
We looked up how to pronounce
it. And that's how you actually pronounce it, according to their website.
According to their website, and we watched a YouTube video that was dedicated to pronouncing this word correctly.
Yeah, because we would look like fools not pronouncing it right.
I feel like a fool.
Right.
But a lot of people, I've heard many people say Glenmorangie.
Right.
I have said that. I've pronounced it that way. I will say it now, Glenmorangie, since that's the appropriate pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have here is the original. The 10-year, this is the staple. Really, if there's a staple of scotch, it is this bottle right here. This is, if you're starting out, this is the bottle that you want to buy first. Mm-hmm. It's about $40, so it's not cheap. But if you're trying to get into the scotch drinking game and you're trying to do it cheaply, then
it may not be the right game for you.
Find a different game, I guess. But hopefully a bottle will last you a while.
Right.
You know, should last you several months.
And so this is like the lowest grade, I think, that they put out.
But it's certainly not low grade.
But we
drink no cheap whiskeys here on the Catholic Man Show.
Correct.
Only fine qualities. As far as the tasting notes go, they're pretty straightforward and basic. It's one of the things I like about it. The ones I've got here say light, delicate, with sweet toffee, vanilla, citrus flavors. And then it says perfect for recruiting whiskey drinkers, which is kind of what we were saying. Let's go ahead and open it.
All right. Yeah, and like you said, there's different types of this whiskey, but this one is called, like we said, the original. It's a 10-year, correct?
You are my friend. Yes.
Thank you. So it's a 10-year Scotch.
Yes.
And it doesn't have a peaty flavor to it. Which kind of drives.
I'm not really a big on. I like a little peated flavor in scotch.
But heavy ones kind of drive whiskey drinkers away.
Especially when you're new.
Yeah, early.
If you're new to whiskey, peated. I mean, I guess there's some people out there who could like peated whiskey right off the bat, but I certainly wasn't one of them, and I don't think that's really common. Peat is, you know, there's not. If anyone's ever been to Scotland, you'll know there's very few trees. So one thing you have to do when you're making whiskey is you have to roast the barley or the grain, whatever it is you're using. So they don't have wood to really do that with. So what they use is peat, which is kind of a moss, grass substance. You know, they just kind of mow the yard, I guess, and burn it. And so it gives the grain a smoky flavor, which transmits itself into the whiskey.
Right.
So that's what peat is.
It actually is a really good flavor. You can definitely taste the citrus. You can definitely taste the vanilla.
Yeah.
The vanilla is really, really strong in there. And so it's not harsh.
I don't pick up on the toffee as much.
Me either, but definitely the aftertones of the citrus, like at the end, you definitely hit the citrus. The beginning's more of the vanilla.
Yeah, and you can't just judge a whiskey. Oh, you tried it one sip.
Right.
You don't expect to know what that whiskey tastes like yet. You really have to finish a glass, I think, before you can make an accurate assessment.
Also, if you're not really a fan of it at the very beginning, taking a couple drops of water, like one or two drops,
changes
the complexity of the whiskey completely.
So that's something for everyone to try. If you drink whiskey, just like you said, I'm not talking, don't go to the faucet, okay?
Right.
You need a dropper
or
something you can put one, two, three drops at the most in. Try it and then put water in. Try it again with different whiskeys, and it's amazing how much it changes the flavor.
In fact, our good buddy Ken Savath, who's a whiskey, like he knows about whiskey.
Yeah.
He carries around with him a dropper with glacier water.
Is it really
water? It's glacier water. So it is pure water.
That is sweet.
Yes. So, I mean, you know you are hardcore when you carry a glacier dropper. So, no, it's really good, but... When we get back, let's talk about...
We're going to talk about the man item.
The man item. And maybe even dive into the subject a little bit.
Yeah, if we have time. We'll see how it goes.
Guys, you guys got to tune in. Stay with us through the break. You're listening to the Catholic Man Show.
We are on the winning team, the Lord's side.
So raise your glass.
We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side,
so raise your glass.
We're having a manly time. I don't know if you guys noticed or not, but I did 1,000 curls over the commercial break.
His right arm does look a lot bigger than his left.
It almost doesn't fit in the room.
Yeah. We're enjoying a Scotch whiskey. Today, so we're so glad that you
hung Glenmorangie 10-year original.
Mm-hmm.
Glenmorangie original 10-year, I think is a better way to say it.
Yeah, I agree. It's very good, but we got to get into the man item.
Yeah,
which we're revising the name.
You know what we're doing today? We're evangelizing people.
We're evangelizing.
Yeah,
I think we are.
Prepare to be evangelized. So you know, we talked about before the break. The topic for today is respect. The man item today is a very respectful item. It is a suit.
A suit.
Every man needs a suit.
I agree.
Every man. Even if you think, oh, I'm too poor to own a suit, forget it. Go to Goodwill. They got suits.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they actually have good ones. I bought one there.
Word?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Adam has spoken. So, the suit.
Mm-hmm.
Manly thing. Obviously... I mean, like, when I think of the suit, respect is something that literally comes to mind. Because you wear a suit when you're trying to be respectful. You wear it to weddings, you wear it to funerals, you wear it to job interviews, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Things when you need to show your best side.
Right.
Okay? There's one thing that really bothers me about society today, especially about the millennials, which I'm a millennial, I think.
Yeah, I think I am too.
I think I'm a millennial. I don't really know.
And like sometimes
we're gonna be
I'm really embarrassed to even say that I'm a millennial.
It's like I thought I was a different one.
Because
you know but
some
millennials
of
are the next, like that's what they talk about now, and I think I'm a millennial. I don't know.
Yeah, and sometimes the tags that come on to like millennials, I don't like. So.
But we both have jobs, so.
Yes.
But I think we're still millennials.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We digress.
The millennial generation, my generation, is very casual and
extremely casual.
Yeah. You know, it's just, oh, no need to dress up for anything is kind of the attitude. And I think the attitude actually comes out of a positive thing. It's sort of something that says, I'm comfortable with you. You and I are close. You know, we're close. I don't need to, you know, you don't put on a suit to go meet your best friend.
Right.
You wear your sweats.
Actually, Dave is in a suit right now.
I'm in a suit of jeans. I do not have a suit on. Although I do frequently.
You do?
I have one of those jobs where I wear a suit
every day. Right.
So I know a lot about wearing a suit, actually. But our generation, you know, it's just so casual.
Right. It really is.
And I think it really is trying to display a closeness in the casuality of the way we dress. You know, it's like, we're cool with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't need to dress up for you because, you know, we're cool with
right.
each other. And I really do think that's at the heart of what it is,
mm-hmm.
but I still think it's crap.
Right. And the issue with that is that means everything kind of becomes the exact same.
Right. Yeah. Moral relativism.
Right.
I mean, it's just terrible. I can't stand it.
This event is the same thing as this event, which is the same thing as us being...
Nothing's better than anything else, man.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So anyway... The suit, and it's even in my office. I work with my dad, and even the guys his age, they wear golf shirts to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm actually the best dressed guy in my office. Mm-hmm. I really am, because I wear a suit every day. Mm-hmm. I wear a tie. Occasionally on Fridays, I won't wear a tie.
Or a bow tie.
I wear a bow tie, yeah.
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 I mean, you have a wooden bow tie.
I do have a wooden bow tie,
which is sweet.
Yeah, I do like it. Yeah. Local company, two guys bow ties.
Yeah.
Here in Broken Arrow, they're on Shark Tank. A lot of people know them. Pretty cool. Definitely the trendiest thing I own. I feel like a hipster.
Almost a hipster, yeah.
Almost a hipster. I think it's really more trendy than hipster-ish.
Yeah, it's too trendy to be hipster.
Yes.
Yes.
Bingo.
Boom.
Bingo. That just happened. So anyway, the suit is an essential for every man. It's like you almost can't be a man if you don't have a suit. And I don't mean that literally, but... Let's bring it back to Jesus, you know, and talk about the way we dress at Mass. This is a touchy issue.
Mm-hmm.
Some people get offended when you talk about this issue, and we're not trying to offend anybody here at the Catholic Man Show.
Nope.
But these are just our opinions. I'm just a simple man.
Right.
Okay? But these are my opinions.
Mm-hmm.
We should be dressing up more for Mass.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
I said it.
I feel so much better. I agree.
I feel like a weight is off my chest right now.
So if you're sitting there listening to Dave and be like, Dave, but I don't have an event to wear a suit. Why would I go out and buy a $300, $400, $500, $600 suit when I don't have anything to do? Wear it to.
Because everybody goes to funerals. Everybody goes to weddings.
Right. But more importantly, everybody goes to Mass.
And, yeah, how much more important is Mass than funerals or weddings? In fact, Mass is kind of a wedding itself. It's the wedding feast of the Lamb.
Right.
So,
and most of the time, a wedding and a funeral have a Mass in it, if it's a Catholic.
Word.
Wedding and funeral.
It's like, if you were going to meet a king, what would you wear?
Right. Or the president.
Yeah, or even just the president.
Right.
Way less than a king.
Right. So if you're going to go meet the president and you were invited to a dinner.
Or even just your senator.
Right.
Or the mayor.
Wouldn't you dress up? Wouldn't you dress to impress?
Absolutely. So that's what I'm saying is that, you know, and some people will say, oh, Jesus just wants you to come as you are. And I agree.
Right.
But he deserves you to come as you are, the best version of yourself, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So why bring a lesser version of yourself to the king? He is, I don't know if Jesus is going to judge you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's going to judge you for showing up in a t-shirt and jeans. And I certainly don't judge people who aren't in a suit, okay?
Right.
And that's not what this is about. But Jesus deserves for you to show up portraying yourself respectfully.
Right.
And if you don't think wearing a suit is a respectful thing or wearing a tie is more respectful than a golf shirt, then ask yourself, why do you wear them to a wedding?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you put on a tie to go to a funeral? If it's not any more respectful, answer me that question.
Yeah, and you can't use because my wife told me to.
Right. It is because it is more respectful.
Right.
We're talking about respect
right.
today.
Yep.
It's a manly thing. If a man cannot respect somebody else, then he doesn't respect anything. You know, if you don't respect the other, then why should anyone respect you?
Right. I agree.
So at least, you know, put on a tie for Mass. Think about this. If you have children and your kids see Dad every week, their entire life, put on a suit to go to Mass, what is that going to teach them about the Mass?
Absolutely. In fact, that's funny because it's funny you say that because my father, he never allowed us to wear jeans to Mass.
Right.
Like we were never allowed to wear jeans.
Mm-hmm.
We had to wear slacks or khakis or slacks.
Right.
To Mass. And at the beginning, you know, when I was really young, I didn't really care. But it was in my teens that I was like, you know, I just want to wear jeans.
Duh,
like,
duh.
Right. It was kind of just, I think it's more a rebellious thing than anything. But it did bring back to the, like what you just said. Why are we doing it? It's because it's important.
Yeah,
because
we're meeting the King of the Universe.
Right, the King of Kings.
That's why. Like, do you need a better reason?
Right.
I can't think of a better reason. So anyway, dudes, step up.
Gentlemen.
You have been evangelized right now. Go look in the mirror. I'll bet you $10 your biceps are bigger from having heard what we just said on air.
Eesh.
I'll bet you 10 of Adam's bucks.
Oh, dude, you can't be doing that.
Sorry, dude.
All right.
Anyway, I have a lot more to say about this, but we don't have time.
Maybe I can actually get Dave to write a blog about it.
It would be more of a rant.
Yeah, but it's really tough to get Dave to write anything.
We're busy guys.
All right.
Barely have time for the show, but we do it because...
we love you.
That's right.
And we feel like there's a need. By the way, I don't think we mentioned this the first episode, but another reason why we decided to do this show is we have a little bit of analytics. And the analytics show that 70% of the people who engage with us or listen are women.
Yeah, so women, get your husbands, sons, boyfriends, dads, grandpas, grandsons, mm-hmm. nephews.
And have them listen. We're providing this for them.
Right. We're going to make them men.
The Catholic Man Show.
Word. So anyway, we got a couple minutes now, really about a minute, to introduce the topic for today. We're talking about pro-life stuff.
Yep, respect. I mean, what else is there? When we talk about respect, respect for life.
Yeah. And you know what's not necessarily respectful for life is when you hear the liberal coworker that is in the office, everybody knows who that person is, you know, spouting off about how pro-choice, all this stuff, and there's probably several conservative pro-life people in the office who are afraid to say anything back because for whatever reason, that's, you know, society is all about the pro-choice position at this point, and
society is all about the pro-choice
position, and the pro-choice arguments are a lot more emotional. They're a lot harder to argue with. I think the pro-life arguments are the hardest to argue with because they're the truth. Really, the truth is a sticky thing. It's kind of like facts, you know, they're stubborn things. But they're just, you know, the pro-choice arguments are very loud, in your face, and emotional.
Right.
People start yelling and they get emotional and they, you know, I think a natural reaction is to back down and say, oh, I'm so sorry,
right.
Because
yeah,
you have
thing. I think most of it has to do with, no one wants to cause issues. No one wants to bring up tension.
Right. So when we get back, we're going to talk about how to discuss these things in a
loving,
quiet way.
Logical.
So stick with us through the break. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. This is the Catholic Man Show.
Stay tuned. And welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Thanks for sticking through the break. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise
your
glass.
Glass.
This is Adam Minahan and David Niles with the Catholic Man Show, and we're so glad.
Pleasure to be with you.
To be here. So,
Adam.
Yes.
Cheers, my friend.
Cheers.
It's a great episode. Yes. Having a great time.
Having an awesome time. We've enjoyed a nice scotch. We've talked about the pleasures of a suit.
And really, let's say the responsibility
of a
man having a suit.
I agree with you. The responsibility of having a suit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the topic that I'm really passionate about.
Oh,
and I know you are as well.
For as much as I care about wearing a suit,
mm-hmm.
I'd never wear a suit again if it would make a difference for our topic today.
Right. So our topic, the respect for life.
Right. And so really we're talking about how to have that discussion, how to frame your argument, because that's it at the mm-hmm. very beginning. What to do, especially where I want to make sure we have time to hit some of the hard topics that are very common in the pro-choice argument, in their repertoire,
mm-hmm.
that they bust out. And I feel like just about every pro-life person just says, yeah, I don't know what to say about that. And so that's why they never get involved in the first place, because they know every pro-choice person can just go straight back to this argument, and it's like the trump card.
And no one likes confrontation anyway.
Right.
So,
But even less than confrontation, I like killing people.
No, he does not.
Yeah.
He does not. So let's put another disclaimer out here that we're no experts in this. In fact, what we're teaching, what we're talking about, is from Trent Horn.
From Catholic Answers.
From Catholic Answers.
Right.
If you guys don't know who Trent Horn is, look up Trent Horn. He is a phenomenal speaker, apologist for Catholic Answers.
Right.
He does... He mainly focuses on two topics, but he kind of branches out.
He started off in the pro-life world.
Right. He started off in the pro-life world.
Going on college campuses with mm-hmm. pro-life displays and just engaging college students in discussions.
Mm-hmm.
And he also specializes in atheism.
Atheism. Because he actually used to be...
Rebutting atheism.
Right. Because he actually used to be an atheist.
Yeah.
And then he became a deist.
An atheist of some kind, yeah.
Right. And then he became a deist. And then he...
Which is someone who just believes in a God.
In a God. Doesn't know...
Not Christian.
Right.
Just that there was
kind of like a watchmaker.
Right. Yeah. There's some higher power.
Right. But then studied basically his way into the Catholic Church.
Right. In high school.
Yeah. Which is like...
Who does that?
The guy is...
That's when everyone's leaving.
Right. The guy is really smart.
Back to our situation. Our scenario is kind of... There's that person in the office
mm-hmm.
who's the token... I shouldn't say token liberal, but who is the outspoken liberal?
The outspoken pro-choice.
Pro-choice, side. Yeah, yeah. I guess not just liberal,
right?
But pro-choice,
mm-hmm.
and make a statement about women's right to choose or whatever it is they say. It doesn't really matter. But the pro-life people in the office, whether it's and it doesn't matter if it's an office, but just in the situation, typically they're afraid to speak up.
Right, and David. Do you see, because you and I both have engaged in a lot of dialogues between
right.
pro-choice and pro-life, us
yeah.
being the pro-life. Dave, do you see that there's definitely emotional like attachment to pro-choice?
Oh, man, there is. And you know what? I think that we all need to just realize before we get involved in these discussions that the reason... Often, not always, but often that there is so much emotion on the other side is because there is there's personal experience.
There's
often.
A scar.
There's a scar and there's a hurting on the other side. So,
and I think that
we need to approach compassionately.
Absolutely. I think we got to remember going into these that we're not trying to win arguments, which is sometimes what I struggle with.
Right, right.
Because, you know, I'm a very logical guy. You know, I go from A to B to C and it just... That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So when I engage in dialogues, a lot of times it's very hard for me to remember that I'm not here to win the argument.
No. Uh-uh.
I'm here to try to win a soul.
Right.
Right. And so it's not about you could put forth the best argument.
And you're not trying to win a soul even right now.
Right.
You're really trying to plant a seed.
Plant that seed.
You know, really to be an avenue for a soul to be won.
But if you do it in not a loving manner or in not a way that can engage the other person...
You just shut them down.
Exactly. And you don't win... Like, it's not fruitful.
Right. No good comes of it.
Right.
So when the other side, when the person you're discussing with, they start to get emotionally involved, you need to really make sure to step back and just love on them. You know, be compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a chance that maybe they had an abortion at some point.
Right.
And the last thing we want to do is judge that person. Right. The last thing we want to do is make them feel, you know, like, oh, blame them, like we're blaming them.
Right.
Because we're trying to have discussions about opinions and ideas.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what the goal is, and to make sure that we know we're not talking about any person, we're talking about the ideas and what should society uphold with its laws as society.
Right.
So,
some of the best ways that I've seen and kind of engaged with either via internet or face to face is that you can approach the pro-life side strictly without using the Bible, without bringing...
Do not. In fact, I would discourage bringing religion into it.
Right.
This should be a philosophical argument, a scientific argument.
Because it is.
Right. So I think the best way to begin, the platform for the pro-life arguments should be something like, I think all people should be treated equally. Because, I believe in equality.
Because if somebody says, I believe that everybody should be treated equal.
Who's going to disagree with that?
Right. Nobody's going to disagree
with
that.
Especially people who tend to be pro-choice. They're all about equality and rights. So you say it's a human rights issue.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that all people should be treated equally, regardless of age, race, gender, or developmental status.
And it's really hard to argue against that.
Right. So should a baby be treated differently with regard to its rights than an adult? No. A baby has the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So just because they're not as developed, they're not as old, doesn't mean they'd be treated any differently.
No, because they're a human being.
Right. And one thing people don't realize in this country is that abortion is legal all 9 months of pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't think that's true, but it is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
All 9 months of pregnancy in every state in the union, abortion is legal. Now, many states have tried to pass laws, and it just simply needs to, if they do pass one, all it has to do is go before the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court already decided the issue. It is legal in all 9 months. And in fact, if you think it's not legal in your state, why don't you do a quick Google search, say, type in your state, late-term abortion, and I'll bet you find someone advertising late-term abortions in your area. And if it's illegal, why hasn't someone arrested that person yet? The answer is because it's not illegal. Federally, it's legal. And people don't even know that. So anyway, what do? So that person says, well, you know, it's a woman's right to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam, what do you say? You know, let's say I'm the pro-choice person, and it's like, I just support a woman's right to choose. Then you would say, well, you support a woman's right to choose what?
Right, because the issue is, as you keep going through this, you got to always bring it back to, what is abortion? Because the word abortion and the words, you know, pro-choice have gotten so watered down that people just say them and not really think, what is abortion?
Right. And so one of the things Trent Horn does is he has this method. He calls it trot out a toddler. Trot out a toddler.
Which I love this. I love this because it's really hard. When you lay this out, it's really hard to go against it.
Right. So you say, okay, you support a woman's right to choose. So to choose what? Well, to terminate her pregnancy.
Right. Well, what does that mean, to terminate a pregnancy?
So, yeah. So you ask him, you keep bringing it back until they admit, yes, they're killing the human life within them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll say things like, well, what if they're poor and they can't afford the children that they have already? So, you know, they shouldn't have to have more children, right? Because they can't even afford the ones.
Right. So then you bring up, well, would you be okay with the woman deciding to give birth to that child and then say, because they're in that situation, because they can't afford, having
more children,
that they decide to kill off their 2-year-old? They have a 2-year-old.
Right. This is the trot out a toddler. So basically, right, whatever it is that they say is the reason why they need abortion, you apply that to the toddler.
Mm-hmm.
So this poor woman she doesn't have the money to fund to pay for the children she has, much less another children. So you say, well, why doesn't she just kill one of the children she has already, the 2-year-old?
Right.
And they're going to say, well, no, she can't do that. Well, why not? Because it's killing a human. Okay. Well, so is abortion.
Right.
And so,
or they'll say, because that child's already born.
Right. And so,
and then
you just say, why does that matter?
Right. Why does that matter? Like, that's the biggest thing. Like, when I found out, like, when I listened to Trent Horn and I found out, like, he uses this all the time on Catholic Answers, which I absolutely love. Catholic Answers is on our station from 5 to 7 on Monday through Friday.
And we're going to actually have to finish up this conversation. I'm just looking at the clock. We have our break coming up. I think it's just flying by. So hang with us through the break.
Okay.
When we get back, we're going to really discuss some of our techniques for handling these tough questions. You're listening to The Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. Thanks for hanging with us through the break. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. We are sitting here raising our glasses on this pro-life discussion. Adam, right before the break, you were really getting up to speed, talking about what it is that does or doesn't matter, really, in the pro-life, pro-choice discussion. So why don't you pick up where you left off?
Okay, so before the break, we had a situation where there was a pregnant woman who was economically challenged.
Sure.
And the situation was that instead of killing off or having the abortion, to trot out a toddler, she has a 2-year-old, and to kill her instead, kill the two-year-old instead.
Then she could afford to have the new baby.
Right. And so this boils down to location, which is the location method that we were trying to talk about.
Right.
Just because the baby is inside the womb, which is just a location, it's just a different location than where mm-hmm. we are currently.
Yeah, the baby's not different physiologically after it's born.
Correct. Just because location-wise she's in the baby's in the womb doesn't make that baby less of a human.
Right.
So the whole idea is, you know, just because I'm here in Oklahoma, just because I'm here in this room, in this studio, just because I'm in the womb, doesn't make me who I am.
Yeah. One of my favorite lines by Trent Horn, which is something that I use in these discussions, is that I think people should be treated equally regardless of age, race, or developmental status. So if you're a person, if you're a human, you're a human. It doesn't matter how old or young you are. It doesn't matter if you're in the womb or in Texas. You're a person, you should be given the same rights as all other people.
Correct. And that's what it ends up boiling down to. Through all these
right.
arguments, what you end up going down to is, what is a person?
Mm-hmm.
And when do they have rights?
Right, yeah.
And obviously, it's not birth rights, you know.
It's human rights.
Human rights.
Yeah, it really is a human rights issue.
Which, when you bring up human rights, it's hard for pro-choice people to disagree with it.
Yeah, well, they don't really see it as a human rights issue.
Right.
They look at it as a mother's rights issue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people will say, it's, you know, you can't tell me what to do. The law shouldn't tell mothers what they can do with their body. But the law does that all the time. You know, if you see someone who is abusing their children in public or anywhere, the law says, well, you're not fit to be a mother. We're going to take that child from you.
Correct.
Or, you know, the law is always telling us what we can and cannot do. It's the whole point of the law. So, yes, the law absolutely can tell you that abortion is not okay, because it's not okay. At the end of the day, you're killing a human being.
And also, just because a law says something doesn't make it true.
That's correct.
You know,
yeah, slavery used to be legal, right, for instance.
Right, and just because slavery was legal didn't make it morally correct.
Right.
Just because abortion is lawful doesn't make it correct.
Mm-hmm. That's, yes.
So, That's another thing that you always hear is people say, you know, well, it's just it's the law.
Right. Yeah. And so we need to ask, once again, asking questions. What should the law say? Should the law protect the innocent, or should it protect those people who aren't as vulnerable? I think it should protect the most vulnerable people in society.
Absolutely.
And who's more vulnerable than the unborn?
Mm-hmm. So, Dave, let me ask you this. There's a lot of people who have been touched probably by abortion, birth control in this society, man. It's rampant, right?
Yeah.
So, for our listeners, both male and female, I mean, there are actually some females that are actually listening to the Catholic Man Show as well. But for, you know, even for the men listening, what can they do if they've experienced the trauma of abortion, or how can they help fight in the pro-life movement?
Oh man, well there's kind of two questions there.
Mm-hmm. I stacked them up on you.
That's all right. The first one, what if someone has a personal experience with abortion? I think just about all of us probably know someone who's had an abortion, but it, you know, if we're talking more of a personal experience, a girlfriend of theirs, if they were the father of a child, let's just say, mm-hmm. that was aborted, you know, men, we're not as in tune with our emotions as women, but that's going to be there. And men and women, this is something that they need to address. Rachel's Vineyard is a phenomenal program. You can get in touch with it by contacting Catholic Charities. And they are a program that's designed to help post-abortive parents walk through these emotional steps that need to be taken so that they can find healing. Because this is something that it's a guilt that they will walk around with for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Until you confront it and deal with it, it's going to be there.
Right, and so if you've been thinking about this and this has been weighing heavy on your heart, now is the time to do it. This is the year of mercy. I mean, there's special things that are happening this year. Pope
Very
Francis
true.
has extended forgiveness for abortion, the faculties to all priests.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
Through,
I forgot about that.
Through the year of mercy. So the church is not trying to, if you've experienced this, the church is not trying to shame you, is not trying to look down upon you. We want to welcome you. We want to help you. We want to comfort you. There's emotional scars there. There could be physical scars there.
Sure, yeah.
We want to help you. I mean, the church is here for that reason. So mm-hmm. that's one way. The second part,
what if you want to get involved in the pro-life movement?
Right.
You know, I think a lot of guys have this notion in mind that, oh, I don't want to go stand, you know, what can I do? I'm not going to go stand outside the abortion clinic and be what's called a sidewalk counselor.
Right.
That's a big step.
Right.
And I agree, that is a big step.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of guts to do it.
It does, especially that first time
mm-hmm.
to try to confront someone who's on their way into the abortion clinic. But man, there's so many things you can do. You can donate your time, talent, and treasure to the cause. First of all, if you're not mm-hmm. praying for the pro-life cause, add it to your prayer intentions.
Right.
You know, if you're saying a rosary or whatever prayers you do on a daily basis, and hopefully you are praying on a daily basis, men,
mm-hmm.
You know, prayer routine as men.
Which will be another episode. I mean, that'll be another episode at some point.
We've got to do an episode about
Absolutely.
That. So pray for it. Boom. Mm-hmm. Second thing you can do is if you want more like regimented prayer, men, Adam and I, every Thursday at the Garden of Hope, which is right across the street from the abortion clinic here in Tulsa, at 11:30 sharp, we're very precise on our time, 11:30 sharp, we are there praying the rosary.
Mm-hmm.
We don't engage the people. However, Joan Posada, who works at Go Life Mobile Medical, which is also right there, she is often sidewalk counseling while we are praying. So,
right. And Dave, we've actually been doing that for like 4 years now, if you can
believe
that.
That's weird.
It's pretty crazy. But it's starting to grow a little bit more. Jim Bryan from
Catholic Looking Gift.
Mm-hmm. He shows up. Robert Martin shows up.
Yep.
And you know, Joan is obviously there. Your wife, Pamela, shows up. My wife, Haley, shows mm-hmm. up every once in a while.
Right.
You know, when time allots. So this is something that local, if you want to get into the pro-life movement today, you know, what can I do now?
We'll be there on Thursday.
Thursday.
At 11:30. And we do. We try to pray precisely at 11:30 so that people who do make that sacrifice to be there during their lunch hour, we can make sure to get through the rosary so that they have time to get back to work on time. We don't want to make anybody late. So we do stick to that schedule pretty tightly. So if you're late, that's okay. We may have already started, but just come on and join us.
We welcome you. So the Go Life Mobile Medical, let's just briefly talk about that. We talked about Joan. She helps with that. Yeah. But if you know somebody who is pregnant right now and is a little scared, doesn't know what to do, Go Life Mobile Medical is in existence for that person.
Yeah, so I forget the exact statistic, but it's close to 75%, as I recall. 75% of women who see their baby on an ultrasound will choose not to have an abortion. So Go Life is taking that statistic and using it in their advantage by saying, hey, we'll give you a free ultrasound. Here you go. And then when the woman sees their baby, they know what the odds are that most of the time, because there's something real about seeing it. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just pregnant. I'm just pregnant. I don't have a baby inside of me. I'm just pregnant. But once you see it on the screen, you just can't deny it.
Right.
And images are so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Pictures say 1,000 words.
Oh, yeah. At least.
Right. So that's something that you can also do. I mean, contact Joan.
Go Life Mobile Medical.
Ask for Joan. These are professionals who give free ultrasounds to anybody
who's pregnant.
So I'm looking at the clock here, and I cannot believe that time is already up. Dave, this is so much fun. I'm really enjoying the show.
Mm-hmm.
But so let's recap for everybody the scotch that we had.
The Morangi.
Yes. Our man item. Which
was the suit.
Which, please get in touch with us. Give us an idea of a better name than man item.
Yeah, we really need to know. And actually, if you come to the prayer garden at 11:30 on Thursdays, typically you'll find me in a suit.
Right. So, or you can
being a man.
Or you can contact us on Twitter, The Catholic Man Show, Facebook, mm-hmm. The Catholic Man Show. Look us up. Let us know what you think. Give us ideas for upcoming shows. Go straight to our phone. This has been The Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. We're so glad you tuned in. Catch us every Thursday at 7 p.m. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass.